Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the Lord's Prayer, and when its instructions is understood correctly, it becomes a spiritual practice and purification of consciousness. Listen as we explain the physics of spirituality, because like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. In this show, we will be using more sound bites from Herb Fitch and explore the application of the principles of divine science. The purity of God and the eternal oneness of your essence with God is the guarantee that all is perfect now. From Herb Fitch. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and abide in divine law. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Thy Will Be Done as in Heaven. Why did you choose that title, and what can we expect this show to be about?
Well, again, like we said in the opening, the Lord's Prayer is instruction. And when we start to understand ourselves in the way that it was designed to be used, then it becomes an incredible tool in what we call purification of consciousness. And here we're looking to clarify some terms today, too. One being spiritual identity, and the other is humility. And how we must begin to live in the divine self by knowing what is required to do. Starting with the divine creation, which is under the government of divine law as the will of the Father, expresses the perfect divine creation. Light, remember, to the angel of the church write, light is the result of joining of truth with spirit, the union of essence or substance with the divine will. To know the divine will, we need the Christ, not a Jesus out there, but the Christ within. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is what makes the divine truth comprehensive to human consciousness. Without it, we have no principle. So we begin by knowing divine will. And we know that divine will is absolute goodness, eternal life, the perfection of being. Otherwise, there's no principle, no law. One perfect divine life is the truth and the only fact of life.
So, Swami, let's start with Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is it that you'd like us to learn from that?
Yeah, Our Father, Jesus starts us right off the bat. And the first thing that we have to understand is what he means by that. He's not talking about our actual parent here on earth. And we begin to unbox the term when Jesus gives us a great description in John 8, where he talks about your father is a murderer and a liar. And I'll read it. John 8:42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. End of quote. The prayer begins with practicing spiritual identity, because your Father is holy or whole, which is spirit, not matter.
And Swami, could you clarify for us what Father that Jesus is speaking of?
Jesus is talking about our spiritual Father, the divine creative principle, the one, the only self-existent power of this universe. That is what we must identify with. That's where we're coming to. And that's why he says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy name means his likeness, and hallowed is another word for holy. Our Father is whole, complete. Our Father is spirit. And so the Father that we are calling our Father, the life that we are calling life, doesn't exist. This prayer is not about this world. It's about spiritual identity. It's about who we are when we understand ourselves to be one with the divine creation.
So when he's talking about you are of your father the devil, what father is that that he's talking about?
He's talking about your material parent. He's actually talking about the entire human experience. He's talking about this world, what is appearing in our material senses. And that's the message of Christ, is we must repent. We must think differently. We have to have a different understanding of ourselves. We're not a finite mortal being. We are the heir of the throne. We are the heir of the divine creative principle.
So I see that we have a soundbite here from Herb Fitch that could fit into the program right now. Would you mind playing that for us?
Yeah, this is from Revelation of St. John, Class 10A, and it's about 16 minutes into the audio file. And if you're interested, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com.
Are we still living in a mental universe, a physical universe? Now we can stand behind John and watch what happens in the soul universe. When we walk out of the dimensions of time and space and form and motion and human activity, when the flesh is no more, when we're not in the consciousness of a physical, behold, the door is open. We stand in new dimensions. We're looking through the eyes of the soul. The first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Hereafter to men who live in time, but now to those who live in spirit. He was seeing it now, not hereafter. And what he saw in the now is in the now, now. Whatever John saw in the now, in this new dimension of consciousness, is present this moment. It is not in the hereafter, except to those who live in the third dimension of consciousness. And so we are privileged to stand behind the veil in the now, seeing what men will see in the hereafter of time. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. In the Lord's Prayer we have said, Father, thy will be done. And if that's all we did, you will now see how shallow a phrase that is, until it comes from the very depth of your being. For here we're going to see that the will of the Father is being done. It doesn't require a human instrument at all. There's no power on this earth that can persuade the will of the Father to go into action or to stop action. The human mind, hoping to influence God, has tried so hard. Father, let thy will reach me and make it good. Make it make me better, relieved, comfortable, secure. But that will has already done all of that. Everything your human mind could possibly think of seeking has already been done by the will of the Father. And John is showing us that you don't have to petition the will of God. You have to recognize that it is functioning. You have to accept that the will is functioning. You have to know that because it is functioning, regardless of what you see, the perfect will of the perfect Father is functioning right where you stand, and it makes no difference what appearances come your way. Nothing that you could possibly do on this earth can prevent the perfect functioning of the will of God, which is a permanent dispensation. Every error you think you have committed has not in one whit affected the perfect will of the Father, which was present, maintaining a perfect government right where you believe you committed an error. You didn't. It is not possible. The will of the Father would not commit an error in his kingdom, and there is no other place. Yes, you have an error in the illusion, and you're not forced to live there. And so John is lifting the veil to show us the nature of the will of God. And to him it comes as a throne. The consciousness that is God contains within itself a throne, which is the will of God. This is how he sees it through the soul. And what is seated on that throne? Within the consciousness of God is the throne, the will. And seated on that throne is who? Jesus Christ? Yes, but is that all? Seated on the throne of the will of God is the complete spiritual household of those who walk in Christ.
So he's given us quite a bit here to look at. And one of the main things that helped me a lot was when he says, we don't petition the will of the Father. The will of the Father is being done. That's one of the misconceptions I think most of us have about prayer, is we think prayer is asking for things. And what we're learning is that doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because there is no human experience. The only thing that is real is the one perfect divine life. What we really want to do is use prayer to help us make that communion, to make that connection.
So, Swami, what does it look like if we were to pray in this model? We know we don't want to petition God. So what does it look like when we do it correctly?
Yeah, we stop thinking. We stop forming thoughts and opinions based on information that's coming through our material senses. Jesus in the Bible says something to the effect of, go into your closet. And when we do that now, we make our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of the divine creation. And again, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, as in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the divine creation. We must start with believing in the divine creation, that the perfection of being is right here, it's right now. The divine principle of this universe is running a perfect universe. And we're no longer asking, and we're no longer living out from this false sense of identity, this mortal sense of identity. We have to shift our identity. In order for us to open the channels of communication with the divine creation, we must accept spiritual identity. We don't become spiritual. We get rid of the belief that we're not. So here we're learning that spiritual identity is a genuine experience. It's not just a declaration. You don't remain in this mortal sense of self and then say, I'm spiritual. And that's one of the things I like about Mary Baker Eddy's interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. She really talks about the importance of demonstration. We have to give up this finite mortal sense of self. And in order to do this, we have to come out of time, space, concepts, and form. belief and matter, come out of thinking, give up human will and personal sense of self. The Bible calls that put off the old man. Like we say, you don't just declare, I'm spiritual. There is an experience that goes along with this. And that's what we talk about, the physics of spirituality and the importance of purifying ourselves physically, mentally, conceptually, creating this hospitable environment so that we can invite divine mind into our awareness.
I'm going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, in the opening, we were talking about like attracts like. Can you shed some more light on that subject for us?
Yeah, the mental, material, false concept of life, which is fear and limitation, gets fear and limitation. So we must purify by putting off the false sense of life in order to allow the truth to appear by accepting spiritual identity. Then we become truth and wholeness, which then invites truth and wholeness into our consciousness. I have something here from Herb Fitch, Realization of Oneness, Class 3B, and I'll read it. Expel the mortal belief, and the immortal truth reveals itself. Always the immortal truth is present, though unseen, and the mortal sense of truth is not present, but is seen. When you expel what isn't, what is reveals itself. End of quote.
Swami, that sounds like a perfect lead-in for the next Herb Fitch soundbite.
Yeah, this comes from his lecture, Realization of Oneness, and this was Class 4A. And it's about 2 minutes into the audio file. And again, you can get this on mysticalprinciples.com.
We have a statement here toward the end of the chapter, Pure Being, which says, "Why do you think the Master made it so clear that the kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there? It is not to be found in holy mountains or in holy temples, but within you." And I think we can face that question and say, have I really accepted it? Have I really accepted a kingdom of God within me? Or do I still seek my supply, my love, my truth, my things, my life in the outer? Or do I accept the kingdom of God is within me and that I seek it within me for the purpose of getting better things in the outer? Is that my error? You have to answer these questions to yourself, because we learn that there is only one power that can save an individual from self-destruction, and it is the Christ. There is no way to know God aright except through Christ. You cannot find Christ external to your being. Christ, the kingdom of God within you. And unless you are in that kingdom, how can the treasury of that kingdom flow as your experience? What's the point of seeking supply out there when the kingdom of God is within you? What's the point of seeking happiness out there, or even health out there, if the kingdom of God is within you? We forget about that, but I think our greater error is that we're willing to accept it, and then we want to go to the kingdom within with a preordained plan of what we want. And we're determined that there must be a way for that kingdom within to give me this that I want. And so, completely heedless of all the admonitions of Scripture, we roll out this hoop and we say, God, jump through it. Here's the will in me that I would like you to fulfill. We even go so far as to pretend to ourselves that we're not doing that. We say, I'm really going to God, well, really not for this or that, but I'll rest there and who knows, something might come that is just what I need. Always there's the idea of, I know what I need. And whether you face it or not, as long as you have that belief that you know what you need, there is in you a quality that is trying to tell God what to do, whether voiced or expressed or conscious. There is something in you that is ticking away, trying to run the universe of God. And you can notice this when you meditate, because you're not at peace. You're sort of screwed around to a certain position in your consciousness, which is trying to nudge God in a certain direction. And you all know exactly what I mean. Now, that is another way to prolong the inevitable self-destruction. You might get a glimmering of truth that way, but the merest glimmering. If you have not been able to attain the fruits of meditation, it's because you have violated the request of meekness, a certain kind of humility. It is really the humility of the acceptance that God is the only being present. It is a complete absence of you and a complete presence of God. And as long as there is in you a desire for anything, there's a you there. And there won't be any fruitage. You might as well face that. There can be no fruitage as long as there is a you. And even though that may seem to be a paradox, because the only reason you're studying spiritually is to help a you, it is the you that is invisible, which is the child of God. It needs none of the things you are seeking. And to experience that you, the you that is seeking, must step aside.
Swami, so it really seems like Herb Fitch is really reminding us that we are constantly separating ourselves from this divine idea.
Yeah, the minute we have a personal sense of self, we've come out of oneness, and it becomes a huge barrier. I really like the way that he's talking about this because it's very helpful for us to understand how to go from talking about being spiritual to actually demonstrating the oneness of this divine creative principle.
You had mentioned earlier the Lord's Prayer by Mary Baker Eddy. I think now might be a good time to talk more about that.
Yeah, we have this from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. I really like, before she really introduces the Lord's Prayer, there's a little statement here that she says, without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. A great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. The highest prayer, loftiest adoration, is not one of faith merely, it is demonstration. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. It distinguishes between truth that is sinless and the falsity of sinful sense. Our Master taught his disciples one brief prayer, which we name after him the Lord's Prayer. Our Master, the prayer of Jesus Christ, said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And then he gave that prayer which covers all human needs. There is indeed some doubt among Bible scholars whether the last line is not an addition to the prayer by a later copyist, but this does not affect the meaning of the prayer itself. And then she starts to go into one of the statements in the phrase, deliver us from evil. The original properly reads, deliver us from the evil one. This reading strengthens our scientific apprehension of the petition, for Christian Science teaches us the evil one, or one evil, is but another name for the first lie and all liars. End of quote. Again, coming back to that quote that your father is a liar, the entire human experience is really the lie. It's a false sense of existence and coming out of the belief in what is reporting in our material senses is what this prayer is really all about.
So, Swami, it seems like this program is really all about this idea of spiritual identity. Can you give us some more information about spiritual identity and the function of humility and how this has to deal with attaining oneness?
Yeah, to answer this question, we have some scripture here, Matthew 23, and it's from 5 to 12, and I'll read it. But all of their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad of their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms of feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. End of quote. Yeah, we're really starting to see how being spiritual is 180 degrees from being material. It always reminds me of that Chinese saying, you win by losing, you hang on by letting go. And it's a very different dynamic when we learn to forsake my will for thy will by stopping trying, striving, struggling, planning, or even seeking, and just resting in the simple fact life is perfect. It can't be anything less. To sum this up, if we want divine truth in consciousness, we must go where God is, which is in heaven, and we must be in spiritual identity, not mortal sense, which means we can't fear, love, or hate anything appearing in the material senses. And personal thoughts must be educated up to spiritual apprehension by filling them and lifting them with the divine qualities of peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance. A complete surrender of personal sense to the one eternal life, which is impersonal and everywhere now. By accepting and living in the divine self, by knowing I am one with the perfection of being, because thy will is all there is, and it is absolute goodness, eternal life. The changeless state of being, perfect. But we must be conscious of it to activate it in experience by being a faithful witness, not a mortal human asking for it.
Well, we're going to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio. Click it, directs you to its catalog page. Click the products tab, then online classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and abide in divine law. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.